Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Somewhere on the internet, and I promise you this is real, there is a 5-star review for a spellcaster. Not a restaurant, not a rideshare driver, not a plumber who showed up on time. A spellcaster. Magic. Someone who can make you a superstar. I don't know why I think of BB from Frasier when I spellcaster. She was horrible, but I could see her doing some witchcraft. Someone who, for a fee, claims to be able to manipulate the emotions and physical well-being of another human being through supernatural means. The review is polite. It's professional, even. It reads like the kind of thing you'd write after a decent experience at a mid-range hotel or Vicks Breaks and More. Courteous. You know, courteous service. Prompt. Hopeful about results. The reviewer on the Spellcaster review is Larry Millette. The spell he's reviewing was cast on his wife, Maya. And the fact that this man sat down on a computer, typed out a thoughtful customer service review for a service designed to magically force his wife to love him again, and then hit submit, that tells you everything about who Larry Millette is before you learn anything else. Welcome to our second episode in our 5-part series about the witch doctor murder trial that's coming out of Larry Millette, should we ever actually get there. This series, this 5-part series, should really encompass the whole case for you if you're trying to get your wrap your mind around it. Here's a platform. Here's your offload or place to take the off-ramp to learn about it, or the on-ramp, depending on how you're looking at it. As we go through this in part two, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We always continue our conversations there, including myself, so please do join in. Larry Millette is not a criminal mastermind. He's not a cold, calculated killer. He's something arguably more unsettling. A man so convinced of his own reasonableness that he can leave a polite review for a supernatural manipulation service and not see anything wrong with it. That gap between what Larry thought he was doing and what he was actually doing is the engine that drives this entire case. And the digital trail he left behind because of that gap is the reason prosecutors believe they can convict him of murder without ever having to find Maya's body. It all starts back in September of 2020. Just look, we have so many cases that start here. It's interesting. That's when investigators found the first emails between Larry and online spellcasters. The timing does matter. September was roughly when Larry discovered Maya's affair with a coworker, and roughly when the marriage shifted from troubled to, it's pretty much done. Maya had moved out temporarily earlier that summer. She'd come back, but she'd come back different. She came back resolved, pulling away, done pretending, more so wrapping up business. Larry could feel it, and he couldn't accept it. So, rather than try to figure out himself, what can I do here? What is going on? Or making a calculated choice of, okay, this isn't working. Let's find a way to make this, as painless as possible for each other. Neither of us wants. No, he went shopping for magic. The spellcaster industry. And yes, it's an industry. It exists in a strange corner of the internet where desperation meets commerce. Investigators found more than a dozen of these services online, most offering the same menu: love spells, binding spells, stop divorce spells, voodoo rituals. Prices range from about $30 to $300. The websites all carry disclaimers saying their services were for entertainment purposes only. Larry apparently didn't read the fine print or didn't care. He was a frequent customer. His early emails are almost pitiable. He wanted a powerful love spell to bind Maya to him forever. He wanted her to realize they were meant to be together. He told one spellcaster to make her realize that we are meant to be with each other. Make her miserable without me. Make her want to sleep on the same bed for all eternity. That's in the email, allegedly. He told his sister-in-law, Genesis, that he was willing to sell my soul to keep the marriage together. In September 2020, he sent a friend a photo of what appeared to be a homemade altar. Candles arranged around an image covered in what looked like red wax or blood. He told the spellcaster he was considering apprenticing in the craft himself because he was that desperate. A grown man with a job at a naval medical facility living in a suburban neighborhood in Southern California was building altars and considering an apprenticeship in spellcasting because his wife wanted a divorce. Well, he's got drive. This isn't a story about dark magic. It's a story about a man who had access to the internet, a credit card, and absolutely no functional mechanism for processing the word no. I mean, just think of this. I mean, he's working in a normal life. He's working at the Naval Medical Facility. You know, these are people like, you'd have no idea. How's your day? Going great. Just built an altar for my wife. What? Yeah, she's leaving me, but I got some spellcasters on auto dial, and we're working on it. Got some red wax dripped all over today. She's coming back. She's coming back. You'll see. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you... It's so freaking ridiculous. It's insane. But again, I guess that's why we're talking about it. And it's horrible because a woman is gone. A mother is gone. Children have no idea. They don't have closure. And this guy is just functioning around the world and like, pick up some spellcasters. The emails didn't stay pitiable. That's the part that matters, because somewhere between September and December of 2020, the tone shifted. The requests stopped being about love and started being about control. I mean, they're always about control. It's just how explicitly honest does he want to get in them? And then they start being about harm. By December, Larry wasn't asking spellcasters to make Maya fall back in love with him. He was asking them to hurt her. The requests, as described in court testimony, escalated in a pattern that prosecutors would later call a roadmap to homicidal ideation. He asked for spells to make Maya sick. He asked for hexes that would cause her to have an accident. And on December 31st of 2020, New Year's Eve, that same night, Maya was telling her sister she planned to file for divorce. Larry emailed a spellcaster and wrote, "She's only nice to me when she needs me or sick. Thanks again. Maybe an accident or broken bone." Happy New Year. He wanted Maya injured badly enough that she'd be physically dependent on him. So he's trying to do misery, basically. And he's Kathy Bates. He dresses up like her, just like, you know who I'm talking about. Him. A woman on crutches can't walk out a door. A woman in a hospital bed can't meet with a divorce attorney. Things that go through people's minds that they think is logical, right? The request wasn't an outlier. Investigators testified that the messages to spellcasters grew increasingly panicked and violent. And as January 2021 approached, the same month Maya had scheduled her meeting with a lawyer, Larry asked for hexes to incapacitate her, to give her nightmares, to give her cancer. According to testimony, he allegedly paid over $1,000 total across multiple spellcasters for these services. $1,000, not on counseling, not on therapy, not on a mediator, not on anything that exists in the real world. $1,000 on the belief that someone on the internet could break his wife's bones with a chant. And here's where the absurdity curdles into something even darker. Larry didn't stop at the supernatural. He was running a parallel campaign using technology. His internet search history included the phrase subliminal wife training. I want to search this and see what comes up. He wasn't browsing casually. He was shopping for equipment. Investigators found that he had placed speakers throughout his family home that played subliminal audio messages. The idea, apparently, was that Maya would absorb these messages while she slept or went about her day, messages designed to manipulate her into wanting to stay. They found one of the devices. There was a phone. Yes, a phone hidden under their bed, playing audio on loop. She didn't recognize it. Like, well, number one, why is there a phone playing audio under your bed? And number two, okay, you don't recognize it, but what is it? She confronted Larry. He said to Genesis, just recordings of things like, and he says it just so, it's like no big deal. Just, you know, just audio recordings, things like I love you, played under white noise, harmless, you know, romantic, nothing to worry about. Genesis testified about that exchange. Larry had texted her. She found the subliminals and said, I'm trying to cage her in an invisible cage. That's a weird way of saying it. Like, she found the subliminals, like she found your stack of Playboys. Like, she found the subliminals, guys. He wrote that as if Maya was being unreasonable. She found the subliminals, and now she thinks I'm trying to put her in a cage. you're using subliminal messaging. That kind of is exactly what your goal is, isn't it? I mean, what is your goal if that's not it? As if it's some sort of normal response to finding a hidden device under your bed playing psychological conditioning audio. Yeah, just shrug it off, go to sleep. You want a melatonin, honey? Okay. Maya didn't shrug it off. She recognized what it was. She described it as being caged. In her words, not a prosecutor's. And she was right. I mean, that... Look, if you ever find someone trying to make subliminal messages to make you do something or stay, get the hell out of there. Treat it like a fire, like the building's burning. Get the kids and get out, because that ain't going anywhere good anytime soon. There's no reasoning with that type of thought process. That person totally thinks what they're doing is logical. They are that far gone. I don't care the memories. I don't care what you thought about them once or they thought about you. That person is gone. If that person is making subliminal messages to control you, all reasonable thought is out the window. These subliminal speakers are part of a layered system of control that Larry was building around her, layer by layer, device by device, and the speakers weren't even the most disturbing layer, believe it or not. Has anyone ever tried to control you in a creative way? I'd love to hear it in the comments. I bet we'll get some dandies. I mean, the things that humans are capable of attempting, right? I mean, it's just, yeah. That distinction belongs to the vitamins, the craziness, the even more craziness. Maya told Larry she was no longer going to take the vitamins he'd been giving her. And number two as well, if your spouse is giving you vitamins, that's a little odd. I don't know. I mean, it's one thing if like they're buying your one-a-days or something, but it's not like, here, take this. What is it? It's a special vitamin I've procured for you. Like, can I see the bottle? says she made her drowsy. The vitamins made her drowsy. She posted about it in a private social media account she used as a personal diary. Her entry suggested that she believed Larry was poisoning her. And when an investigator was asked on the witness stand whether he believed Larry had been poisoning Maya, the answer was yes. I can factually say he was poisoning her. I can see other evidence that backs that up. That other evidence included Larry's Google search history from December 2020, which contained searches for Rohfenol. I think I'm saying that right. It's a powerful sedative, widely associated, you know, roofies, with drugging people without their knowledge or consent, as well as some other drugs, all of which are substances that could be used to incapacitate a person. I'm not going to attempt to say their names because I'm just not going to. I can't. Want to give it a shot? I know there's medical folks watching going, oh, it's that. I can just give them like names that you actually can say. Phenylterazepam. Try that one. And dipinhydramine, something like that. For those of you who know what that is, those are the other things he was searching for. According to the arrest warrant, those searches were described as substances that could be used to incapacitate a person. So let's assemble the full picture as of late 2020. Larry Millett was simultaneously paying spellcasters to magically break his wife's bones, hiding subliminal audio devices throughout the house to psychologically condition her into staying, potentially drugging her vitamins to keep her sedated, and researching incapacitating sedatives on the family computer. He was also tracking her movements, following her to work, and building a physical altar to the marriage that included what appeared to be blood or red wax. All of this, every search, every email, every purchase, every evidence, every device, leaving a digital footprint that Larry apparently never considered anyone would ever look at. That's the thing about Larry Millett. It makes his case so staggering in its specificity. He wasn't sophisticated. He wasn't covering his tracks. He was using his personal email. He was searching on the family computer. He was texting his sister-in-law about the subliminals. He was leaving customer reviews for spellcasters. He operated with the confidence of a man who believed that no one would ever be concerned. Nothing would be examined here under any sort of legal microscope. Or more likely, a man who was so far inside his own justification, he didn't see any of it as incriminating or weird. In his mind, he was fighting for the marriage. In the prosecution's narrative, he was building the evidentiary foundation for a murder case. A friend of Maya has told investigators that Larry had choked her until the point that she had passed out on a previous occasion. A police officer testified in open court that Larry once allegedly punched through drywall to get to Maya when she locked herself in the bathroom in fear, going through the wall. These weren't isolated incidents surfacing for the first time after Maya disappeared. They were known patterns documented by the people around them, folded into a marriage that had been deteriorating for months under the weight of Larry's escalating need to maintain control over a woman who had already decided to leave. Then came January 7th, 2021, the last day anyone heard from Maya Millett. The last day Larry Millett emailed a spellcaster about his wife. That's the detail that prosecutors have built their circumstantial case around. And it's worth understanding exactly why. Larry's emails to spellcasters about Maya had been daily, sometimes multiple times a day, for months. The requests had escalated steadily from love to control to incapacitation to harm. On January 7th, he sent his final email about Maya. It asked to make her miserable without him. After that, the emails about Maya stopped. Not gradually, not with the trailing off. They stopped completely, as if someone had flipped a switch. On January 9th, 2 days after Maya was last heard from, Larry started emailing spellcasters again, but the target had changed. He was no longer requesting spells aimed at Maya. He was requesting spells aimed at the man he believed she was having an affair with. He wanted that man punished. He wanted hexes redirected. He continued those emails through early February, and then those stopped too. The prosecution's read on this is straightforward. Larry stopped asking for magic to keep Maya from leaving because by January 9th, Maya was no longer capable of leaving. The problem had been solved. The spellcasters were no longer needed, at least not for her. And the redirect towards the affair partner suggested Larry's obsession hadn't ended. It had just changed targets. He was still angry. He was still fixated. But the person he'd been trying to control for months was gone. What's remarkable, and I use that word deliberately, is the completeness of the digital record Larry left behind. Investigators found over $1,000 in payments. They found the escalation pattern from love to harm documented in his own words, in his own emails. They found the subliminal speakers. They found the roofie searches. They found the altar photograph. They found the deleted emails that he apparently tried to scrub after the fact, unsuccessfully, because deleted isn't gone when investigators have search warrants and digital forensic tools. They found the customer review. Every tool Larry used to try to keep Maya, supernatural, psychological, chemical, generated a record. And every record now sits in a prosecution file waiting to be presented to a jury. A man who thought he could control his wife's mind and body through spells and subliminals and sedatives left behind a more complete confession than most suspects leave with a written statement. He just didn't know he was writing it at the time. That's the absurdity at the heart here of episode 2 in our series. Not that Larry Millette hired spellcasters. People in crises do desperate things, and the internet has no shortage of services designed to exploit that desperation. The absurdity is the combination, the sincerity with which he pursued supernatural remedies, the escalation from romantic to violent, the customer review, the parallel campaigns of psychological manipulation and possible drugging, and above all, the complete failure to recognize that every single action was being preserved in a format that investigators could subpoena. He wasn't just building a case against himself. He was organizing it chronologically, labeling it by category, and occasionally rating it on a 5-point scale. Maya, meanwhile, was doing her own documentation, her private digital diaries, her text messages, her conversations with Marcise and Genesis and Kristen Timmers, her warnings to family members, her appointment with a divorce attorney. She was building a record, too, but hers was deliberate. Hers was a woman who understood that she might need people to know the truth after the fact. Larry's record was accidental. He was a man so lost in his own narrative that he couldn't see the trail he was leaving for everyone else to follow. Both records now exist in the same case file. Both will be presented to the same jury, assuming the trial that has been delayed for over 5 years actually begins. And when that jury hears the progression, love spell to binding spell to incapacitation spell to broken bones to silence, they'll have to decide whether the man who stopped asking for magic on the same day his wife stopped answering her phone is the man who made sure she'd never answer it again. Larry Millette has pled not guilty. He maintains that Maya left on her own. His defense has argued that she had reasons to disappear and a history of temporarily leaving the family. That argument will get its day in court, but what it can't do is unsend the emails. Can't unsearch the search history. Can't unbuild the altar, or unhide the speaker, or unwrite the 5-star review for a woman who charges strangers money to cast love spells. The digital trail doesn't prove Larry killed Maya. That's for the jury to decide. But it proves beyond a reasonable interpretation that Larry Millette was a man willing to try every tool available, real and imaginary, to prevent his wife from exercising the basic human right to leave a marriage she no longer wanted to be in. And when every tool failed, the email stopped, and so did Maya. You think he's going to argue that the spells worked? That's what I keep coming back to. Is that going to be an argument in the actual trial? I didn't do it, Your Honor. See, I did order these things, but they worked. Could you be charged with murder? If you ordered a spell on somebody and it worked and they died or went missing, that would require the court to recognize that the spell casting was successful. I mean, there is a world in which this case is, the timing is just absolutely horrible. People do go missing sometimes. It's rare, but sometimes, you know, just for, and I'm not saying this happened here, accidental, horrible, you know, just went for a walk, tripped, hit your head on a rock, dog drags you. I mean, they're just sometimes absurd things, but sometimes absurd things happen in the world where, like, there really isn't a third party involved that killed anybody, and the timing just lines up absolutely horribly with what some delusional person is doing or saying about them. That does happen. It's insane. It's rare. So rare. Like, win the lottery rare. But wouldn't that be an interesting twist to the whole damn thing? He still maintains the innocence. And he did these things as if they're like legit options. Wouldn't they be the most unlucky man in the world? And in no way am I saying that that's what I think happened, but gosh, wouldn't that be interesting? Your thoughts, again, in the comment section and Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation right there. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this this case. We got three more parts to this story. Part three is coming up next. I'll see you there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
He's bawling, crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down, according to him. It was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.